We begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, Lord.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray this prayer together. Lord of all power and might, author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name and nourish us with all goodness that we may love and serve our neighbor through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament lesson for the third Sunday after Pentecost is written in 1 Kings chapter 19. God reassures Elijah and sends him back to his people. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek to take my life away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by. A great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphath of Abel Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. And yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphath, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. And he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him, cast his cloak upon him, And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh, and the yokes of the oxen gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Galatians chapter 5. Our freedom in Christ is not permission to sin even more. St. Paul writes, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. God's grace, mercy, and peace to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Even as we're going to be talking about our gospel lesson today, the text of these words, "If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit." Friends, I'm going to throw out a name to you. You have to go back a few years and see if you recognize it. How about the name Wimpy? Well, I know that brings some chuckles today, maybe for a different reason. But does anybody remember a cartoon character named Wimpy from the cartoon strip Popeye? And Wimpy was famous for always needing money for a hamburger that he always promised to repay on Tuesday. Yeah, he always promised to I need money for a hamburger, and I will gladly repay you on Tuesday. Well, I came up with today's theme, life without a quarter, because back then, they wanted to make absolutely certain that no matter what you got, and yeah, the hamburgers back then weren't much different than they are today, they wanted to make sure it never cost more than a quarter. In fact, that's when this whole thing started, of making the burgers smaller and smaller and smaller so that they could, for the longest time, keep the price under a quarter. But what is life if you don't even have something like that? Well, sometimes it is a legitimate kind of a thing. And I'm not talking about a cartoon character here that always seems to need a hamburger, but we're talking about a Savior. A Savior who, as he went from town to town, he had a mission, he had a message, and he had the disciples that were gathered around him to go before him to make sure that that was going to be spread. But what he didn't have was a place where he knew he was going to be spending the night. He had a lot of people that had become for him places of hospitality. We remember people like Mary and Martha, and when Jesus would be going down into that region near Bethany, he would stay with them. But if his ministry lasted 3 years, and there's 365 days in a year, that's almost 1,100 nights that he was going to need a place to stay, a place to sleep. And he had no place to lay his head. Now, we hear about those kinds of things today, but it's a little bit different when we're talking about somebody that's missing not what they need so that they can have a place to stay, but missing, or at least believing that they are missing what they need to continue on in life. Far more valuable than a quarter is to be able to have God's people moving forward. That was the issue with Elijah this morning, where all of a sudden, even as he had been able to do some miraculous things, as they went after his life, King Ahab and Jezebel, he took off into the desert. And that's when he said to the Lord, "I'm the only one left. They've killed everybody else. Now they're trying to get me too." And the Lord had to remind him about something. That he had more at his disposal than he could have ever have imagined. Now, admittedly, when we hear about the numbers that apparently came out of the land of Egypt, now the number of people that came in and then went into the land of Canaan, 7,000 people, compared to that number, really may not be a whole lot. But when you think there is nobody that you can stand next to, nobody that has tried to remain faithful, you feel like you're the poorest person in the world. And the Lord had to remind him, back where I need you to go back and do the things that need to be done. There are 7,000 people that have not bowed the knee to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. And in the midst of that, I'm going to give you something even more. And that's what the Lord is going to try to do for us. Those of us that have nothing that we could ever offer the Lord. The Lord has things that he wants us to do, but it's on behalf of the people in this world. We have nothing that we could give him. If we had a quarter, he certainly doesn't need it. What he does need from us is an understanding of what he has given to us. The Son of Man may not have had a place to lay his head, but not only do we have a place to lay our head, but we have got a message inside of our hearts that is yearning and burning to come forth. A message that is going to declare what Jesus has done for us. It's not easy. And it's one of those things where when we face the kind of rejection that we're going to be facing more and more today, we're going to have those moments like James and John where it's like, Lord, can we just have the ability to do away with those people that want nothing to do with you? Well, no. We need to have the patience to continue to try to find ways where we are going to try to win them, where the Lord, as he has opened doors for us to be able to have more than we could have ever have imagined, is also going to open the door of opportunity for us. You know, we live our lives in the midst of a world in which two things are opposed to each other. And we heard that in our second lesson today, where we, in our own lives, are having to fight that battle every day. The things that are against the Spirit, the things that are for the Spirit. And we feel like we win and we lose and we lose and we win 15 times every single day. But we never want to underestimate what the Lord has done for us. It seems a little strange because if you heard the end of the gospel lesson, nobody who looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And that this was after an Old Testament lesson where that's exactly what Elisha did. But let's not forget about what happened to Elisha. And about, by the same token, what the Lord has done for you. When Elijah came up to Elisha, Elijah put his cloak on him. Now, it wasn't because he was cold or because of the weather or anything like that. Elisha understood what that meant. From that moment forward, his life was going to be very different. He now had a mission and a commission of what needed to be done. So, what did he do? He took the time to share with the public just how important that really is, that now he's got a different life where the yoke and all of that was burned, and of course the food was set before the people, because this life that was behind him is over. And he gets that. And now he's going to move forward. Well, if that indeed was a kind of a summary of our lives, that we're having that moment where we are recognizing that this is that time. From this time forward, me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And we can take that moment where we just kind of leave all of that behind us once and for all. Sin never lets it be that simple. But still, the Lord, through the waters of holy baptism, has placed his own cloak on you. That which says you are the most important person in the whole world to him. And he has something for you. He has gifts for you. He has things where you will never, your life will never be, shall we say, without a quarter. Your life will never be waiting for something that will come by on some other day of the week. From this time forward, you are going to be a child of God with the fruits of the Spirit, of the things of which there is, against which there is no law. The Lord has made it clear that there are going to be things that happen. You know, being a bachelor a bit myself this weekend, and sometimes these visions of a bachelor calls to mind different things. And I know we've got some bachelors in our midst, and I don't know, sometimes the reputation is you would go there and the dishes are never done and the laundry's never done and the floors are never clean. Well, don't worry, my floors are clean, my dishes are done, my laundry will get caught up this afternoon. But more to the point is how life changes as we go through some of those different things. And a family that did not know what life with Jesus was really like, is now finding out for the first time. There are so many opportunities, my friends, that we are yet to see. If we have even a few days left in this world, and I suspect that almost every one of us have got way more than a few days left in this world, we're going to have the opportunity to walk through some doors that the Lord himself is going to open for us. When he walks us through that, what are we going to see on the other side of that door? And when we see whatever it is, are we going to see what we're supposed to see? And if we see what we're supposed to see, are we going to do that which the Lord would have us do? The only way that all of that is possible is to remind ourselves that if the Lord is with us, he is working for us to help us see some things that we would not ordinarily see. And that's why he made that comment to that one person, because if that person really was dealing with a dying father, he wouldn't have been around Jesus. That's why he said, as for you, go proclaim the kingdom of God. He's not telling us to be uncaring when those moments come. He is asking us to remind ourselves of the things that are most important. And that is a life that will never be without a quarter. We may see some of the humorous things in this life of somebody that's always in an old cartoon strip, is always asking for a loan, always promising to repay, always using it for exactly the same thing. But in our lives, everything that we need has already been bought and paid for. Our Lord has given us all things as he gave his life for us on the cross. And now he gives us all things through the Spirit. My friends, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. And if we walk by the Spirit, let us live by the Spirit. Because the fruits of the Spirit are guiding us along to let us see what the Lord would have us see. Life that is never without a quarter. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we move on to our next section with the confession of sins, I was talking about how we've got things that are going to be going on throughout the month of July. Next Sunday is the last. We've been going through a Bible study here on Sunday mornings about other gods. That Bible study comes to an end next Sunday, and it's been an eye-opening experience about the other gods that we have identified. But coming to Faith Lutheran Church, beginning in 2 weeks at 9 o'clock. Yes, indeed, my friends. From This Is the Life, we have gotten permission to use that in a larger group setting. And so we're going to be watching those 9 episodes. There had to be some of those faces that you recognized even before they started listing some of the names. But this is going to be quite a series, and we're going to share everything with the pictures and whatever else and give you the opportunity to once we're finished watching the episode, to talk a little bit about the things that have taken place. It's Sundays, starting July 14th, 9 o'clock. That's our Bible study hour, but some episodes of This Is the Life. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are as well. Let's continue then by the confession of our Christian faith by the words of the Nicene Creed. It's always on the inside back cover of the hymnal, or you may follow along on the screen. Please stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We receive our offerings. You may be seated. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, you are our strength and our joy. For everything you do is marked by kindness and love. And because you are gracious, we look up to you, thanking and praising you for all your kindness, for blessing us with life, for equipping us with all our powers of body and soul, for giving us the ability to be useful, for the fruits of the Spirit, for permitting us to enjoy your creation, and for surrounding us with the warmth of human relationships in every facet of life. But we praise you above all else for your grace in Christ Jesus. In him you have given us the strength to overcome evil, free pardon for our sins, and the sure hope of eternal life. May we always, in that assurance, find true joy in all that we do. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give the riches of your grace to your church, O God, that it may seek the lost, lift up the fallen, comfort the brokenhearted, and heal the afflicted. Enable all people to proclaim with courage and conviction that precious message of life by which we are richer than we could ever imagine, to declare to all people your mighty acts of love and mercy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Especially as we close in on a special day, we remind ourselves of the freedoms that we are able to share. We ask that you would always remind us of the joy of being able to be in a land that prizes and treasures its freedom. Remind people everywhere that you are the Lord of all history, that you judge the leaders of the nations, that you have the power to break bows, shatter spears, destroy all human might. But remind us always that our nation may be preserved in justice and honor as we look to you, that we may lead peaceable lives with integrity. So grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land. We pray on behalf of President Trump, Governor DeSantis, all those who work in the legislature, and also amongst our judicial offices and all of our offices at the state, county, and local levels. Those who administer, make, and judge our laws, help them to serve this people according to your holy and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
By your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow. Comfort and friendship to those who are lonely. Employment to those who are unemployed. And your precious blessings to all who feel like they are left in this world virtually penniless. Take them into your tender care, O Lord, and remind us always that in all things we may look to you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things, whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We close in prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, giver of all good things, bind our hearts and minds to you, that we use our freedom for the sake of our neighbors and bear abundant fruit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. During this last year and this year, with the 4th of July falling in the middle of the week, there really wasn't much that we were going to do worship-wise. Now, the next 2 years, the 4th of July falls first on a Saturday, then on a Sunday. So we're going to have quite the worship celebrations for the 4th of July in the next 2 years, God willing. But just because we are closing in a holiday week, we close with the hymn, God Bless Our Native Land. Friends, I know that we have at least a few of you that are going to be traveling this week here for the 4th of July, and for all of you, safe travels. For the rest of you, we hope to see you at our 4th of July picnic, and otherwise back here at worship, and remember next weekend, the commissioning of our youth as they prepare to go to Minneapolis, Minnesota. So go in peace, serve the Lord.